I'm Mary Clark, and this is Mary Clark Traveler. Today, I'm taking you to the middle of the Americas, to the jungle of Ecuador. Ecuador perches on the Earth's bulging waistband and enjoys perpetual spring weather. The Andes Mountains erupt through its center, the Pacific Ocean pulls from the west, while its eastern rivers form the headwaters for the Amazon River's long journey east. Indigenous tribes dress in distinctive native garb and farm on the steep mountainsides. And weekly markets are still necessary for each small town's commerce. Some years ago, our family traveled with my brother's family to Ecuador for an extended trip. Both my brother and I had lived there, and we wanted to introduce our families to the incredible variety of this beautiful country, and in particular, the jungle. Our jumping-off point for La Selva was Baños, a mountainous town on the eastern side of the Andes. Nearby, snow-covered volcanoes provide thermal hot springs for bathing and swimming. The Rio Pastaza will drop from Baños' altitude of 5,500 feet to 3,000 feet in a day's drive through the mountain valley to the jungle area. Our major concern was the dirt road that wove from Baños to Puyo. Buses honk as they round its curves to warn oncoming cars of their approach, but no guardrails protect cars on the outside of the curves. Locals had casually acknowledged the loss of life every year on that treacherous stretch when the rains began. We were grateful the rainy season had been slow in starting, and my husband is the driver. Well, he didn't sleep so well the night before the journey. Counting waterfalls was a welcome distraction as we descended. Some were small, and others fell hundreds of feet, as we totaled 86 of them. The views approaching the Amazon basin were spectacular. Fortunately, there were few vehicles on the road, and we only had to occasionally wait on the edge of a curve as a truck crawled past. At Aujano, we stayed at Alinawi Cabins, a jungle inn on the Napo River run by a German family. The rooms were built in small compounds with porches, ours bordered on the jungle. The evening meal was served al fresco on picnic tables, which allowed guests to meet each other and the owner to tell stories. In the middle of one tale, though, he stopped and casually picked up a tarantula that was crawling across the concrete pad. His purpose was to convince us that tarantulas were relatively harmless and reclusive. These large spiders do like to run away as their first line of defense, and the fangs are used to catch their prey of insects, not humans. We were still doubtful and hoped that particular tarantula's visit to the inn was isolated. Wrong, wrong, and wrong again. Upon returning to our rooms, a quick inspection of the upstairs bedroom found several of the hairy insects. My sister-in-law insisted that our husband should kill them. They grabbed a couple of brooms and bravely entered the first room. We waited outside. Soon we heard crashing noises and one calling out, "Don't throw that spider on me!" They finally emerged, strutting like conquering heroes. A similar battle took place in the other rooms. By this time, the children were well aware of our visitors, and they refused to sleep in their own rooms. We pushed our twin beds together with kids on the inside and parents on the outside. They slept well since they were protected by their parents. We barely rested as night jungle sounds filled the room and we imagined ourselves to have eight-eyed company crawling in bed with us. The next morning, more of our black hairy friends were hanging out on the porch, but they didn't seem so scary in the daylight. Apparently, the day of our arrival had been particularly hot, and they had simply come in for the shade. At breakfast, we regaled the other guests with stories and discovered our compound had been the place to be for the tarantula party. No one else had seen any. The next night, we slept well from exhaustion. Fortunately, the day had been cooler and no spiders were found. Our adventures, though, had spooked the other guests, and the second morning found them sleep-deprived from worry. With 900 species, tarantulas live in many parts of the globe, particularly the tropical areas. They have vexed travelers for centuries. Marco Polo described those in India as lizards that climb up the walls and had a poisonous bite. He considered them bad omens for merchants and would sleep on a bed of canes that could be drawn up near the ceiling with cords to escape them. Science has learned much more of the tarantula's docility since Marco Polo wrote in the 13th century. But the spider's large, hairy appearance still frightens and overwhelms our intellectual knowledge. We'll hope for the cool days on the next visit, and we will request the compound farthest from the jungle.
Mary Clark is a retired attorney and lifelong traveler who began writing about her journeys in 2008. If you'd like to see photos from Mary's trips, read blog entries, and more, visit maryclarktraveler.com. The programming you hear on 88.9 KETR is brought to you in huge part thanks to listener support. Please dig deep and give what you can at ketr.org. Click support this station.